Okay, hello everyone. Next up we have Gurfried Fuchs, who's be talking about issues with large deployments of Debian.
Hello, thanks for joining in this session. It is meant more than an experience exchange instead of a talk to where just I speak. So I just want to first introduce you to what issues we are facing in our environment. I will tracking this stuff in this document. LSD stands for Large Scale Deployments, in case you wonder. So please join the Gobi session. I will go through it quickly. I'm working for the Austrian eHealth system. We are running the electronic health system, healthcare system in Austria. The boxes at the doctors all are running Debian. There are around 12,000 boxes all across the country. And we do software updates twice a year. And to be able to have the same version across all the systems, we need to have them updated during one night. Also because of the healthcare system is a quite critical system, so it has to be done all at the same time and quickly, so that people can go to the doctors the next morning without any troubles. If something in this environment goes wrong, it might be a big case because you can't send out technicians to check on 12,000 boxes across the country. And there's a fair amount of countermeasures that we've taken to work against these issues. One of them, the most important for us, is the rescue system. There's a special partition on the boxes which is read-only, which resets to a known good state. Technically, it downloads a bootstrap binary, runs it, and on top of that starts to do the software update again. This rescue system can be triggered manually, but it is also triggered automatically if the system reboots 10 times without bringing up the application. We have integration tests, which does just an overall test, looking if the system is still accessible through the interfaces which are exported to software developers that can base their software on our software stack for the system, and also plugging in a monitor and keyboard directly into the box, or using the web interface to work with the system. And all this is done with the integration test. Then there's the second step, the system test, which does the tests on application layer, which checks the different applications that works on the system. And we have actually, in our software development, we do three revisions during the release cycle. All the deeper changes are meant to be in the first step. Then the system goes to integration test and system test, and they test it. There is another revision that is done, which only is allowed to contain minor changes and bug fixes. And there's a last revision only for bug fixes and potentially also documentation changes and things like that. Then when the rollout comes, we first do the upgrade on the servers with respect to database changes, required ones. There is a first rollout to about 300 clients, with which we have the first field test and check if there are any issues that we weren't able to reproduce in our local test environments. And a week after that, usually, there is the rest of world rollout, which runs the update for all the systems across the country. Of course, there's proxies involved or caching servers to work against bandwidth issues. When you do updates for so many boxes in one night, you have to work against this. So this is our personal environment. The software update is its own package. It usually runs an apt-gate update. Then it triggers an updated sources list, which has the new version name in it. Does the apt-gate update, fetches the packages, or there is a two-step software update going on. The first step just updates our specific software update packages, which also has some pre- and post-processing hooks where we can check or work around certain limitations with respect to config files and something like that. The configuration files from the packages usually are shipped in one of our internal packages. We don't touch the Debian packages that much, but we have all the packages are installed with force conf missing, force conf new, and these dpackage hooks that we know the system out there has the new configuration, because it all has to work unattended, of course. And after the software stack got updated, there is also a hook that might need to reboot the system. And then after reboot, there's the software update hooks in again and updates all the remaining packages, and in the end brings up the application layer again. So this is how things work for us. And I wonder if there are people who might have stumbled into similar issues, have more or less similar big deployments going on, and what problems others are facing in such environments. Maybe first, the first round of question, if there are any questions with respect to our specific setup, and yes, Thomas?
Hello, 1, 2, 3. My first question is, which kind of boxes are these? Are these the desktops? At the doctors, or are these some small servers that are used?
Ah, okay. Yes, I should go into a bit more details. They are sort of embedded devices. There are no movable parts on it. They are directly in the doctor's office or in a hospital. And in this environment, there are very special limitations, regulations with respect to emissions, what the boxes might are allowed to take with respect to power and things like that. They're embedded small devices and running the application stack for the health system. So when the doctor puts in your health card, it checks the authorization, and then the doctor can put in the consultation information for the case when for which you are there. So it's not desktop systems in that case, it's just exports more or less a web interface in which you can put in the patient data and for payment through that the doctor gets paid by the healthcare insurance company. So, next.
Exactly how do you trigger the installation of the update package?
There's the we do run our each of our releases has its own version code, and in we have a software distribution server which can tell the clients which version they should update to, and this software distribution tells the server that all the clients there is a new version out there. There's a cron job running every day on the clients which checks if there might be a new version available, and there's a maintenance window in between which the clients might hook in their updates. So the central server sets the new version for the clients. In the evening, the clients see there's a new version and they trigger the update on themselves within their respective maintenance window. There's also for some areas, there might be, especially for bigger environments like hospitals, they have the possibility of manually triggering the update, so it's not automatically done in the night. Especially with respect to emergency rooms and things like that, they need to be able to trigger it on themselves and not have it done in the night for the usual practices.
Is it means that there is no user data on these devices?
On these devices, the question was if there's data on these devices. Or
user generated data on these devices.
To some degree, yes. The boxes are also meant to be able to work in offline mode. So if the central servers are not reachable, the doctor practices need to be able to do their job nevertheless. So the systems can store data offline. And when they get the network connection again, this data will be sent to the central servers.
Okay, thanks. This makes it a bit harder, but okay.
So, any more questions with respect to our special environment or?
So how are these boxes connected via a virtual private network, and is the bandwidth limited, so on the client side?
Most of these parts are already covered in my talk on the Debian Day. They are connected either via leased lines or regular DSL lines. The providers are required to run a MPLS service on it for quality assurance. There's a minimum bandwidth which has to be ensured to be able to run the update in a timely manner, because this will also get tricky if the boxes just a few hundred bytes per second and the update is sometimes a bit bigger. So we really try to get the update limited quite low. What I didn't mention here, what might be needed to get added is we strip the Debian packages from their documentation and help pages and all this stuff, manual pages, so that the packages are really narrowed down to the minimum that is really required on the boxes. there's no documentation stored on the boxes because the old boxes that we are currently in the work of replacing them, the old boxes just had 256 megabytes of RAM and the same amount of flash memory, so it's quite limited in that area. And it's not only the bandwidth reason why we strip off the daemon packages from the documentation, but also the space limitations on the embedded devices. The question was if we encounter problems with the network. Yes and no. The group of all the 12,000 boxes, when doing the rest of world rollout, we usually group them in several chunks with about 2,000, 3,000 boxes a chunk and trigger them at different hours over the night so that the servers don't stumble into the bandwidth limit. We also do some sort of simulation graphing beforehand to be able to know where there might be the bigger peaks or things like that. And afterwards, the real data also gets written down, noted down, and checked if our pre-calculations, if our tests were more or less within the lines, and that we be able to potentially improve these limitations. But so far, at least within the last few releases, we managed to get things really nicely lined out. My real question is, are there any other people around here that might have that many boxes, or even just 1,000 or something like that under their hands?
When you speak about upgrading, you mean upgrading your custom-made application or the distribution as a whole, let's say from all stable to stable?
Well, two or three releases ago, we did the upgrade from Sarge to Lenny. If you know about the history, there was the Edge release in between. So we skipped the Edge release. We directly went from Sarge to Lenny. And this also took a lot of testing during the process, because there were some symbols removed and the upgrade path within Debian is ensured only for one release at a time. So we had some issues with that, but it was overdue and we do the system upgrades, the complete distribution upgrades for the base system. Most of the time, now that we have Lenny on the boxes, contain only of improvements in the whole process or adding new applications and bundles along that lines, which offer better support for specific application enhancements. Like recently, there was added e-medication, which checks for interactions between different medication types and be able to present them to the doctor so they can warn you about interactions of different medications and tell you about them. Yes, Neil?
A question from IRC. How do you cope with bandwidth requirements? Do the clients have some sort of randomization for the time to start downloading the updates, well, within the maintenance window, so they don't try and download all the same time?
I think I read that question up myself. How do you cope with bandwidth requirements? Yes, there is some randomization for the time started within the parts. Like said, we split them into several chunks, so they are split out over the night. But within that, there is also some randomization for which goes over about, I think, 10 minutes within which the different clients can start. Sometimes the clients that run into timeouts during the updates, giving some troubles, but the rescue system is there to even help with those, because when the application doesn't start up within a certain time, there's a watchdog that checks for the application start, and if it didn't start for a certain time, the system reboots on itself, and most of the times the systems are able to heal themselves through these reboots, and because other systems are not updating anymore at that time, so that works fairly well for us most of the times. There, with 12,000 boxes, they're fairly the same hardware-wise, but there are still some different charges that were done while production. So in our last release, we had a timing issue with the thing and a newer kernel update, and the watchdog hooked in too early, and some of the boxes were in an endless loop here, and we had to fix that, but these are just some corner cases, and gladly they don't appear very rarely. Yes?
How do you fix these issues? So when some of the boxes have trouble, like an endless loop, or where the update simply fails, do you have access, remote access to them, or do you have to basically go there?
Our operations team has SSH access to all of the boxes. When we are not able to SSH into them anymore, that's the troublesome part, but when we at least be able to SSH to them, we can log in and fix stuff. That's the easy part, even though sometimes things are still pretty tricky because the system is extremely complex. So when it became fairly complex over time, most of the times SSH access is possible. Sometimes in that case with the kernel, we had to go into the client distribution system and tell them to upgrade to deploy an older version and not the most recent version, and then they went through the rescue system to the older version, and we were able to reach it. Sometimes it's really hardware, plain hardware breakages. The old hardware is about 5 years or maybe even older, and it starts to wear out. So we currently are replacing the hardware nevertheless, and in case some of the boxes go mad with respect to hardware, technicians have to go there and replace it. Neil, at the far back.
Do you see issues with the base system getting larger? Is this a problem for you?
Pardon?
Is this a problem for you when the base system gets larger between releases?
Yes. And no, because actually now we're in the area of deploying new hardware, so the issue isn't there anymore. We go from 256 megabytes to 4 gigabytes of hard disk space, so that gives us a bit space for future deployments. But on the other hand, making it bigger becomes more troublesome for the servers, for the upgrade process. The download times don't scale up that much, so we still have to be very careful with how much software we put out there. And sometimes we even have to make decisions like, is this bug really that important that we push out an update, or is it easier to work around it? But yeah, these are decisions that has to be made in such an environment. Is there no one here who has also a big server farm or something like that under their hands? Yes, Neil?
Well, at where we work, it's not Debian-based, but we do have a lot of the similar problems. If you currently go about, I work for a set-top box manufacturing company. We have a product at Telecom Italia, so covering about 60, 70,000 boxes, and there's a lot of very similar problems with making sure things stay up to date. One of the ones that we had to do was, one of the requirements was making sure that the hardware can't brick itself at any point in time, and so there's a sort of a hardware recovery thing. What sort of mechanism do you do for the updates? Is it just HTTP? Do you have a separate kernel that loads this software, or how do you make sure that you don't that a bug that isn't going to take the entire box down?
Well, like I mentioned, there's a lot of quality assurance, system test, integration test going on, test rollout of the 300 golden clients and the rest of the world. You never can ensure, you can take a lot of precautions, be very careful, double, triple check. There's these three revisions that we do internally before we push out the software for the first time. And all these things that role during the release cycle made us, at least gave us the possibility to go to bed and be able to sleep. So yeah, the possibility of bricking systems, especially when you have to do kernel related updates, is rather high. Like I mentioned formerly, the issue with the kernel timing issue was a bit troublesome, but we managed that very gladly, very good. And yeah, does that cover your question properly to some degree? So, if there is no... yes, Christian?
So, this is not really related to the boxes you are upgrading here, but still somehow related. Are you actually upgrading the card reader firmware too, or just the boxes?
No, the card reader firmware also gets upgraded from time to time. Especially recently, we had to upgrade the certificates we were using. They were running out. And in that process, there's also card reader related upgrades going, firmware upgades going on, yes.
Are these upgrades triggered by the box? Or
they are triggered through the box, yes. Because because sometimes the card readers are in their special VPN environment locally, and we can't reach them from external. And there's also some card reader proxy for bigger environments where they have, like in a hospital, you usually have at every desk there a card reader, but you have only a few main systems that are the access to the healthcare system VPN. So that's done from there. One more question on IRC. Let me check it up. Which one was that? Ba-ba-bum. Yes. Deploy updates selectively to specific clients. For example, if some of them need a slightly different package or configuration, can you explain how you do it? Well, no, there's no software difference between the clients. There's configuration-related different clients. We have one main configuration file which stores specific tuning parameters for our software stack, but the packages that we deploy are all the same across the different clients. There are different, not every client has the same set of applications. So the sources list line that is sent by the server contains different components at the end for the different clients, and these components guide which application the specific doctor is allowed to use, and or rather is able to use, because the other applications are not uploaded to the system. But apart from that, yeah, it's done through the components in the sources list file that different software stack. We might be able to work on that system more. Currently, it's just used for the applications that the doctors can use on the system. So hopefully, yes, Neil?
How do you make sure that the software on the device is what you put there? Do you verify the kernels or check the file system, or how do you sort of really verify that it hasn't been tampered with in any way?
Well, the local administrators might have, they only have access to a specific dialog-based administration menu through which they can change just a very limited set of settings, like network settings or which card readers are connected to the device. But apart from that, no one locally has access to the system. About being tampered with, we do rely on apt-key, just like regular Debian parts. So there's no additional layer that we put on top of that. We can remotely log in and check things. There's also some sort of, we have a specific software that is able to do some checks on the whole tree of clients if we need to find out whether how much bandwidth was used in the last update from the clients. We can hook in some scripts that get uploaded to the systems and give us this data, which might be used. It's sort of called health check to be able to check the health of the system. There's no regular RRD tool or something like that running on the boxes. But if we need the some specific information for whether there might be had been some problems with the last software update or that, we can extract the logs and check them. So the next talk that is going here more or less goes in the same direction, and I hope there will be more people around that work in different, in similar environments and also have bigger amounts of machines under their hands and speak up about the issues they are facing. So if you know someone who works in such an environment, please tell them to get in contact with me. I would like to discuss troubles they are seeing with using Debian in such environments. And in case, please get in contact with me. I hope you all know how to do that. So thanks for being here. Thanks for your questions. I hope I have answered all your curiosities, and see you later.